Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد المصيل والفضيل ودار العشرة رافع وبعض المقام المجمول الذي وعدته. الحمد لله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa jumu'a mubarak. And a blessed day of gathering. Amma ba'd. A'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Alam tara illa alladhi haja Ibrahima fi rabbih an ataahu allahu al-mulk. إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given that one kingship, when Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death. He said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Quran Ayah 48 and chapter 34. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل إن ربي يقذف بالحق علام الغيوب. قل إن ربي يقذف بالحق علام الغيوب. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is, say to them, my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth, he knows fully all that lies beyond the range of human perception. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. A report of the days, the days before the prophets formally making Hijra, a report from that period. I read to you. So the Meccans, those who were opposing Prophet Muhammad, who's still at Mecca at this time, under the oppressive force of the unbelieving tribes, he said, of that time, apprehending the Prophet's migration to Medina, the Quraysh convened a high-level council, meaning there were those who had already left under the cover of darkness, secretly Mecca, headed for Medina, leaving the city, Muslims. And so they apprehended the fact that Muhammad was about to also leave Mecca and therefore continue his work away from Mecca. Apprehending that the Prophet's migration to Medina was near, the Quraysh convened a high-level council attended by all the tribal chiefs at Darul Nadwa, which is the council house, to decide on a decisive course of action against the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They realized that once the Prophet left Mecca, he would be beyond their reach, rendering them helpless in the face of a formidable threat. A group of them were of the view that the Prophet should be imprisoned for life and kept in chains. This proposal was, however, turned down on the grounds that the Prophet's detention wouldn't deter his followers from preaching Islam, and that they would seize their first opportunity to release the Prophet, even at the risk of their own lives. Another group among them suggested that the Prophet, peace be upon him, should be exiled, for this would remove the mischief from Mecca and the subversion away from Mecca as well. And it would not matter whether he spent his days or where he spent his days, nor what he did, for Mecca would be immune from his influence. This proposal also was discarded for fear of the Prophet's persuasiveness and eloquence, and his ability to win the hearts of the people of other tribes, and thus pose an even greater threat to the future of the Meccan leaders. Finally, Abu Jahl, who was the Prophet's uncle and an inveterate enemy, suggested that a band of young men drawn from all of the different clans of the Quraysh should jointly pounce on the Prophet and kill him. In such a case, the responsibility for his blood would rest upon all the clans of the Quraysh. It would thus become impossible Abdul Manif, the Prophet's clan, to take revenge on any one particular clan. Such a motive would compel the Prophet's relatives to drop their claims for retaliation and force them to settle for blood money. Accordingly, the young men charged with the execution of this plan, they were selected, and they were advised of the exact place and time at which they were expected to carry out this crime. This task had to be carried out by all at the same time so that the Prophet's family would be unable to seek revenge by fighting back against all the major tribes. Not only that, the would-be assassins did indeed arrive at the appointed place at the appointed time. However, before they could harm him, their plot was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah, and the Prophet managed to escape safely. How so? After the Prophet became aware of their plot by the grace of Allah. Allah instructed him to make his migration. And just as he was leaving his house, he came face to face with assassins. At that moment, Allah commanded him to take a handful of dust from the ground and throw it in their faces while chanting the Quranic verse from Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse 9. And this is an expression of that verse. And we have put before them a barrier, and behind them a barrier, and covered them so they do not see. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Then Almighty Allah blinded them at that moment in such a way that the Prophet escaped easily from their sight. Once they came to their senses and their vision came back, somebody came by and stopped and asked them, "What kind of confusion are you in?" He asked them, where are you going?" They said, "We're going to get Muhammad." The man told them that Muhammad has left. Then they touched their heads and found dust on it. Quickly, they ran to the Prophet's room, and while panicking, they confirmed that the Prophet was not there, as instructed by the Prophet, his cousin Ali, radiallahu anhu, was sleeping in the Prophet's bed under one of his cloaks. When they saw that, and that it was Ali and not the Prophet, they were shocked even further. They couldn't cope with the reality in front of their eyes. They were totally confused about what happened, right? Like Nimrod after Abraham said, "God makes the sun rise up in the east, you make it come from the west." And also, they recognized that killing young Ali would not have brought them any benefit at all, so they left him. So this was the occasion of the Prophet's final move to make Hijra from Mecca. And as we say, the rest is history. So this is the 20th part of the subject, the science of truth and reality. And the focus for today is basically seeing and not seeing the truth, seeing and not seeing the reality. And the science of it, alhamdulillah, the whole thing is about the science of it. And Allahu alam, I don't know how far we're going to get in terms of that. But the events of this week are really like textbook case of what we're speaking to. But mashallah, we'll go as far as we can on the idea itself. So going back to the key verse for today, which is 34:48. It says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Qul inna rabbi yaqzifu bil haqqi 'alamul ghuyub." Say to them, "My Lord projects, perceive with the truth." Qul, say, "Inna, surely, Rabbi, my Lord, yaqzifu." That's ya, qaf, like del zal, yaqzifu, bil haq, with the truth. Allamul ghuyub. My Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. Okay. My Lord projects. This is the yaqsibu. Projects. That's many different definitions, but throwing, causing something to go through the air, throwing, casting, all the words that have to do with throwing, thrusting, casting, all those are included in the definitions or in the expressions or the meanings of that word. يَقْصِفُ بِالْحَقِّ, and this is now, he projects what you perceive with the truth. Now, we say projects what you perceive with the truth. You can box off those meanings in a way that says, what you see is a projection from Allah, which was created and which is occurring because of the reality behind it. Okay? A projector. You go to a movie, right? You go to a movie, you're sitting in the movie, and you're facing the screen, but up and usually behind you is the projection room and the camera that is projecting. So it's projecting. So it's throwing that image, throwing through that light, and on that light is throwing it onto the screen. And so what you see on the screen is what is actually being projected from the camera, the projection room. So what is the movie? The movie is a projection. The movie is a projection. The movie is not projecting itself. The movie is being projected by something else. Okay? That's the nature of our experience. Okay? The nature of our experience as existing creatures is that we are seeing all that is around us, right? And we're experiencing it. You're hearing what I'm saying. You're seeing me in some cases. Okay, and that, quote unquote, is your reality in the moment, right? And that is the reality of the moment when you understand that that's the small r reality, not the big r reality. That's the small r reality. Now, so I want to keep. I got to keep folding these things in, so you know that this is only an expansion of things that have already been laid out to you. So Abraham, star, moon, sun. Abraham, star, moon, sun. Just it is simply graduated levels of perception. That's each one of them. Sense perception, rational perception. Your quote-unquote scientific perception, meaning the rational perception comes in the context of what you can, by reason, come to conclusions about. So you can come to conclusions that are firm and acceptable, et cetera, based on sound reasoning, based on sound thinking, based on sound reasoning is inference making. So you come to sound positions like the Einstein and the experiment on the West African eclipse expedition, whatever. The point is that he had already reasoned up to it. Now he needed scientific proof for it. Okay, now that's the sun. That's the sun. So he had an intuition, and then he, quote-unquote, let's call it, did the math, which is all abstract, which is all thinking it through, et cetera. But this was all done before there was concrete proof in the three-dimensional space environment, that is the planets, the sun, the stars, et cetera, to prove what he had. And so when it was proven, all right, that's the star. Pardon me, that's the sun, which is a medium-sized star. But the idea is the sun. So the idea of our seeing what we see on the sense level seems like, and we are, at the level of the senses, we are seeing what we're seeing. But on the scientific level that goes beyond the senses themselves, it's like what we think we're seeing, while it's real at our level and it's real in our existence, don't try to walk through the wall or anything like that. You know, don't disrespect gravity and all the rest of that. Those things are all real, but they are not the capital R reality. We think that when we hold our hands here together like this, that they're actually touching. No. If you can get to the subatomic level of this, then you will see that, no, they're not actually touching. But from a sense perception, from a sense experience, yeah, it's like they're touching. And don't say, no, they're not touching. Look, just understand that scientifically that's the case. And you have to respect that reality. But Allah, the deeper truth is God is telling us what you're seeing is a projection that I'm projecting for you vis-a-vis in the nature of creation. And he tells us, and this comes much later, even in this part of the conversation, Allah tells us that this is ghurur. This life is ghurur. It's an illusion in that sense. But again, it is, well, since he's given us this quote, he said that reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one. It's an illusion, but it's always there. It's persistent. So the goal is to understand bilhaq. When Allah says bilhaq, he's saying he's using the haq. He's using the reality to project what you're perceiving. He has created an environment that is true to your senses. And this is why, among many others, Allah says, I've given you sight, hearing, and understanding, and little things it is that you get. Little things it is that you get. Because if you didn't have the senses constructed the way they are and packaged the way they are in us, your interfacing with the creation that Allah has created with his word be, and it is, we would not be able to have the experience of life and get the gains and the benefits and the pleasures and the satisfactions that we get out of life without the benefit of the work of the five senses. So that sensing of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, it is a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's also, God is also telling us that what you are sensing is not the final reality. What you're saying, I'm projecting that with the reality. So the reality is what's behind what you're seeing. It's very important for us to understand that. When we understand that, then we won't stop at the superficial experience of existence. Like scientists don't stop at the superficial experience of existence. They go behind it. They go into it. They go beyond it, okay, to make those discoveries. And that's the ultimate picture that we have of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, going beyond the star, moon, sun. He got behind it all. He got beyond it all. And recognize that Allah is the haqq, that Allah is the reality behind all of our perception. Allah is behind. He's not palpable. He's not weighable. He's not measurable. Huh? And the truth that he uses, his word is truth. And the power in his word, his truth, it is by that power that all things are created. So whatever you see in creation is not the thing that created it. And when I say the thing that created it, this moment, I'm not saying Allah is a thing. I'm saying that his word created it. And so what you see is not Allah's word explicitly, but you see what his word creates. So it says, and my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. So then that's an invitation to get beyond what you see. That's what it is. It's an invitation to get beyond what you see. So materialism and any other ways that make you think that if I can't see it, weigh it, measure it, demonstrate it experimentally, et cetera, then it's irrelevant. It's not important. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Well, that right there is a denial of reality. That's a denial of reality. That's a very important thing to understand. Whoever takes that position, they are denying reality, the haqq, right? Denying that reality. So what is it for them? Imam Muhammad has a wonderful, very full statement. Maybe we'll start with that in the second part of the khutbah, inshallah. They are the ones that suffer the worst from the ghururi nature of quote unquote reality, capital R, and reality small r. So whatever you see, sense, and experience, etc., is reality small r. It comes from reality capital R. But these who deny the capital R reality in favor of the small r reality, they are deluded. They are deluded. So they are rejecting truth behind reality, and that's one of the clear meanings of kafara. So that one that argued with Abraham because Allah had given him authority, not Abraham, that ruler, he made misunderstanding about where you think your authority came from. Where do you think that the fact that you're sitting on the throne right now, you think that's all on you? You think you did it? You don't even recognize that it was God that favored you, gave you a chance, put you in that position, and you make the mistake of thinking you did it. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody. In any case, so whoever is denying that, whoever's in that, whether they're scientists, or of whatever other engagement, they're denying reality, and that's kafara. That's kafara. Kafara, it also means to cover up. You're covering up. You are covering up. But in the verse that, one of the verses, yeah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the prophet to recite Surah Yasin, when he was throwing the dust in their face, that verse says, and we have put before them a barrier and behind them a barrier and covered them, that they do not see. So they are covering. They are kafara. You can get that from, you can get cover from kafara. If I spell O-F, how do you pronounce it? When you read it, what do you say? Do you say of? This is the king of Siam. No. You say of, right? Of. So O-F, the F makes a V sound. Also, kafara. You say kafara, now say the F as a V, and you got cover. Their cover. And that's what the kafara do. They cover up the reality. They reject the reality. And in their rejecting of the reality, they think they're covering the reality, but they are actually being covered. Alhamdulillah. It's like Allah said, I got you covered. I got you covered. You think you're seeing, but you're inside a little small world that you're covered up over. And so you're living in a world of your own. Gururi, you are deluded. Keep going. So Allah said, but he told the prophet at the beginning of the verse, he says, say to them, my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. So what Allah intends and communicates by his word and by what he projects, truth is the essence of it. Truth is the nature of it. All right? But everybody does not see the truth in what Allah has projected. Bilhaq. Here's 7:179. An expression of this, it says, many are the jinn and men that we have made for hell. They have hearts wherewith they understand not, eyes wherewith they see not, and ears wherewith they hear not. They are like cattle, nay, more misguided, for they are heedless of warnings. So these same senses, and so you look at the other verse that I alluded to, God is saying, I have given you hearing and sight and understanding, but little thanks it is that you give. Okay, so you don't give thanks for that. You are kafara, you are ungrateful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes blindness to cover you over. So you have no understanding, even though you have a heart in your body, and that principle operating in your anatomy, let's call it, neuroanatomy. The heart is just not talking about the physical heart in the
in this, but your capacity for understanding. So you have the capacity for understanding, but you don't understand. You have the capacity for seeing, but you can't see. You have the capacity for hearing, but you can't hear. You're worse off than cattle. This is what happens once a person rejects that there's a reality behind what you see, and behind what you see, there is truth. But if you reject what you can't see, then Allah causes you to be blind, deaf, and dumb. That's what it is. And then hell is the next stop. Well, you're in it at that point. So alhamdulillah, mashallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, he projects what you perceive with the truth. So understand this. Everything that we see in our sense experience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to parse out all of it. Well, what about things that men have done, men have built? Okay, it's fine. God said, I create you and what you make as well. Just simply understand that this universe that's only created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it is the truth. All of it is, it's not all of it is the truth. All of it is the projection from the truth, but its substance, that is what gives it existence, is Allah's truth. That is the reality as Allah has ordered it. And so when you see a tree, that tree is a product of the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of a tree. All right? The wind is the haq of Allah in the form of the wind, okay? The stuff that it's made of, the thing that gives it its existence is the haq. But the thing itself is not the haq. It is something that is being projected to you through the reality. All those things, everything that exists, will pass away, except as the Quran itself says, except the face of Allah. All of it, everything is perishable, and everything is perishing. Okay, but the reality upon which they come into existence is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how temporary their existence are, but do understand all of those existences, yours and mine and everything else that we know of, is only existing temporarily. And it only exists for us to perceive because of the nature of al-haq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to project it in order for us to be able to perceive it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So again, just emphasizing just the one principal thing, to understand that reality is beyond what you see. Very important. It's very important on all levels. Reality is beyond what you see. So don't get into the mind that, you know, that ain't real. Whatever is not sensible is not real. So we've said enough about that. So in this verse where it says, verily my Lord doth, another translation of it that begins to get to understanding it better, inshallah, is, you know, Yusuf Ali, he has a translation, and I'm using these translations to show you that different people from different minds, hearts, spirits, etc., see the same thing from different angles, and that goes to the idea of perception. Everything that I perceive is not necessarily what's being perceived by somebody else, even though we're looking at the same thing. We're looking at the same thing, but our perceptions are different, right? And go ahead and take a look at it when you get an opportunity to, obviously not right now, but look at there's a difference between sensation and perception. Sensation and perception. So everybody can sense the same thing, right? You understand what I'm saying? Sensation. Can have a sensation. For example, it's like she cannot stand oatmeal. Oatmeal. It's like, you know, she might have a gag reflex just saying oatmeal to her, right? Her oatmeal. I know the history of why. But the point is, I love oatmeal, you know? So So same sensation. I mean, our bodies are human bodies. They're human bodies. Oatmeal is oatmeal. And so when you put oatmeal into one human body and put oatmeal in another human body, same sensation, right? But the perception is different. And because of the perception being different, there's going to be a whole different set of reactions from the two different people, even though mechanically, neurochemically, and all the rest of that, sensationally speaking, so it's all the same. The difference is in the perception. All right. So, and that's what happens when, you know, people read the Quran, see a word, see a verse, and, okay, so we read the same verse, but then the perception of it is different. And Allah is the one who has, who gives the true perception, but i.e. the perception of the truth. Who is it that has perceived the truth? Allah knows. Allah knows who has perceived the truth. So Yusuf Ali gives this expression. I took out the thee, thou, thou kind of thing. But he says, say, verily, my Lord does cast the mantle of truth over his servants. And so he got a couple of parentheses in here. It says the mantle of truth, that's in parentheses, and the mantle of parentheses, and then over his servants parentheses. And so by making that decision, he's telling you this is how you should see it. This is how you should see it, like the truth is on the servants of God. That's how, alhamdulillah, that's good. That's what he wants us to see. And I'll finish the rest of the verse where it says, and he that has, it says, that has full knowledge of all that is hidden. This is what Yusuf Ali also said. Now, a number of times I've cited to you what Allama Muhammad Iqbal said. And the quote is that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garment of reality. All right, so garment. So you have the garment on. The garment is something that's covering something else. The garment is not the person. If you take these garments that I have on right now, hang them up in the closet, you look at them and say, yeah, that's Fahim. Hey, Fahim, how you doing, man? You don't talk to garments like you're talking to me. It's like, this is what you see today, right? And these are the garments, right? Now, if something happens later on or what have you, I say, did you see Fahim yesterday? And the person said, I saw him at the masjid, and also I saw him at the store, right? Well, how you know you saw him at the masjid? How you know you saw him at the store? Because you saw the garments. You saw the garment, whether it be his skin or whether it be the clothes that he was wearing. You say that you saw him, right? Okay. In the same way, scholar is saying, looking beyond the material, he's saying, when you see the laws, when you see the principles, when you see the objects of creation, when you see their operation, what you're actually seeing is not the haq, is not the reality. You're seeing what's projected by it and what will lead you towards it, as was the case with Abraham, star, moon, sun. You start with that and then follow them to what's behind them. That's the reality. So when the Yusuf Ali, when he says that my Lord does cast the mantle of truth over his servants, you can read it. You can read it like, you know, they are the truth walking, or they are the truth being expressed, etc. The truth is with them, the truth is from them. Okay, that's fine. The idea is to understand that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is projecting what you see with the reality that is his and his alone to create what you perceive, right? And his casting, his intention, his objective, his plan is to show us more of the truth. Verses in the Quran that say, Allah said, I will show you the signs in the Father's horizon and in the skies, in the earth, and in yourself until you know that this is the truth. So Allah shows us the signs as ways of guiding us to the reality behind what you see. Everything else is, all of these things are simply signs, mashallah. So the laws of nature then, the laws of nature are more of what we need to grasp in order for us to follow, dare I say, the breadcrumbs to the reality. And inshallah, with that reality, we'll be able to benefit in this life the way Allah intends for us to benefit by understanding the nature of both worlds. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Amin. Alhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to save the other aspects of gurur, inshallah, for what comes next. That is not today. So, material reality. So let's speak somewhat about the material reality, okay? So Allah created everything that we see and everything that we don't see that comprise this universe that we're in. Just speak of that. This universe is not self-created. This universe is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we only see very little of it, but we see it. In fact, let me give you some statistics. Everything that we see, that is everything that is sensible to us, with telescopes, everything, any kind of mechanism that can bring information to our senses from and about these projections, i.e. the universe. Do not buy into any idea that the universe is a hallucination or whatever. That's somebody working something else, right? Allah projects this reality and is real. Gravity is real. Light is real. Mass is real. Fire is real, on the level of our existence. And you have to respect every one of those in accordance with its nature to benefit and to harm. You don't respect it, you're going to pay the price. So don't, God says it in the Quran, don't let this life deceive you, nor let the chief deceiver deceive you about God. So even though it is scientifically true that what you see is not scientifically all solid, that's true, but you better respect the solidity of whatever it is that you're experiencing as solid. Respect it in its solidity. If you don't, then it's quite likely you're going to get hurt, okay? All right, but that being said, I'm saying the totality of every visible aspect of the universe only comprises about 5% of what is the universe. I'm saying, and the scientists say, this is again going beyond the senses, right? The material sciences. So everything, take it all, Milky Way, whatever the other galaxies, by whatever name, stars, whatever, take them all, put them all together, and that is to say, you make a set of all known and visible, Hubble telescope discoveries, everything. You make it all, put it all in one package, all of it, and it will comprise 5%, the quote-unquote known universe. That's only 5% of it, right? What's the other portions? 26% of it is what is called dark matter. Dark matter. Just look it up. Dark matter is a reality. Dark matter is a reality. But, quote-unquote, you don't see it, right? I think simple, quick way of understanding it, that the reality is something that you can't see. The idea of gravity, the whole Newton's idea and all those things that came around gravity, that was one part of it. But then Einstein upgraded that perception of what gravity, because Newton actually didn't even define what gravity was. Okay, it was when Einstein came around and they start talking about space-time fabric. Now, I got to talk about these people because this is all that we've been told about, you know, quote, all we're told. This is where science takes place. Well, alhamdulillah, it's useful in order to understand this universe that we're in and its operating laws and how real and dependable and the predictions that can be made because of the nature of it, what Shamsu wa Qamaru bi Husban, the star and the moon, or rather the sun and the moon follow course is exactly computed. So the predictability of the universe is what they, quote unquote, they discover. They discover the laws and the operation, put it under the title of physics, et cetera. That's fine. When you discover those laws, that's good. But you don't know anything about the nature of, okay, where did the law come from? So Einstein talked about gravity, but he didn't even define gravity. That was something that he left to later generations, and it came with Einstein, and then you got the whole space, you know, space-time, warping fabric and all the rest of that kind of thing. And that whole idea about the special relativity had to do with you have to prove that light didn't operate the way that other things are affected by gravity. And so all the rest of that, I won't go any further. The idea is to say that with that experiment, the experiment proved something that they could not, but it was a reality, right? Gravity. But you needed an experiment to prove that this unseen thing that now I, quote unquote, Einstein, have defined, and this is how it behaves, this is how it performs, and everybody's waiting for, okay, well, where's the proof? Okay, the circumstances came up, then it was finally proven, but nobody has ever seen gravity. Nobody has ever seen gravity. But is gravity a reality? Yes, gravity is a reality. All right? So, and there's proof. Gravity unseen as a reality, right? All right, I'm saying all that to say dark matter is the same. Dark matter is the same, which constitutes 26% of the universe. Remember, everything you do see is only 5%, according to the scientists. 26% is dark matter, right? And all the proofs are, quote unquote, in place to verify, okay, yeah, there is dark matter, and by our estimations, there's about 26% of it. Okay, well, so far that gives us 31% of the universe you have. 5% ordinary matter, 26% dark matter. Where's the rest of it? The 9% is what they call dark energy. 69% dark energy. Okay? Again, proof. The Nobel Prize of 1988 was given for that proof. And that discovery that there is dark energy and there is about this much of it from our experience, from what we can determine by our experience and by the axioms and the principles and the mathematics and the science that we do know, just like Einstein and his bending of light, the blah, blah. It's like, okay, and we can prove these people that got the Nobel Prize, 1988, for the discovery of dark energy, that there's about 69% of the known universe is dark energy. Is dark energy. So 5% of this universe, according to these reports, is ordinary matter. That's 5-cent stuff, right? 26% of it is dark matter. It's matter, but it's invisible to you. You can't see it. Bismillah. And 69% of it is dark energy. So there's your 100% of the known universe is made up of these three things. Matter, common matter, ordinary matter, dark energy. So what does it mean? It means that 95% of the universe is unseen. 95% of the universe is unseen. But what do most pay attention to? The 5%. The 5%. MashaAllah, and you should, as a human being, on the first order, sure. And I think there's reasoning behind and symbolism behind the idea there's 5%, there's five senses. That's what is through those five senses, that's the part that we pay attention to. All right, so now let's look at the second part of our operating verse, 34:48. So we've already gone through, my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. And the last part of that verse, he knows fully all that lies beyond the range of human perception. That's Quran. That's the Quran. So 1,400 years ago, this was said. Today we have a higher understanding and a higher level upon which we can perceive. And upon that higher perception and higher understanding, we can do things that have not yet been done. Because for us, as it said in the Quran, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah is عَلَامُ الْغَيْبِ, عَلَامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Allah is the one who knows what's hidden. What's hidden. And Allah reveals that reality to whom He pleases. And so all of this for us ties into the Abrahamic mind, which is to say, yes, I recognize the universe. I also recognize its limitations. I recognize its value. I recognize its power. And we also have to recognize, it's not that we like have to recognize, but we're saying it's like no reluctance there. Along with all that we recognize it's been created for us. it's been created for all human beings, not just greedy people. It's for all human beings. And the entire creation has been made to render service to us. And it's like, so then therefore, kind of very simple rhetorical kind of question, like, what are you waiting for? The universe is for you. The universe is designed to serve you. And there are things beyond what you see. And there are powers beyond what you perceive. And there are laws operating in creation. There are forces operating in creation that await your command. Literally, they await your command. But you cannot, as Quran says, you won't be able to do that without Sultan, without Sultan. You have to have the authority. One, you have the authority as a human being, but then you have to, your mind has to grow. That garden inside of you of these powers of thought and powers of understanding and powers of perception and powers of reasoning, those are the things that have to be cultivated, because they are the tools that you dig into that universe with and have it deliver what God has stored there for us as an inheritance. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah guide us to that. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We beg you, continue your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection over us. We beg you, raise up as righteous Muslims, purify us in our hearts, purify us in our intentions, purify us in our thinking, purify us in our motivations, purify us in our vision, purify us in our hearing, purify us in our perception, purify us in our desires, purify us in our desire and our intention and our willingness to serve you. O Allah, help us not to be deluded by our own thinking. Bless us not to be deluded by what the world shows and sets before us. O Allah, please bless us not to be deceived by the world and not to be deceived by the chief deceiver. O Allah, bless us not to accept to be anxious, worried, fearful, doubtful, wrangling because of what Shaitan himself has said amongst us. O Allah, we pray that you would purify us in our vision and make us secure in our own position. Bless us to be like Abraham, who in the midst of the fire is cool, who in the midst of the fire is calm, who in the midst of the fire is secure, who in the midst of the fire is recognizing that you are the one and only Lord and that you have power over all things seen and unseen. Amen. Allahumma amin. Alhamdulillah, a couple of announcements, and that'll be it. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. What do we have? All right, shukran. Zakat Sadaqah continues. The Zoom Arabic classes are continuing as well. One-time reading, the ID is 793-888-79535. Password 289307. Also, the NAS Children's Program, 6 to 13-year-olds. It's twice weekly, and it's $25 per student and $40 per family, and that is the monthly tuition to participate in our NAS Children's Program. Okay. Also, the NAS Youth Business Loan Program is at work. These are for ages 9 to 18. They can apply for business loans to start building a business. We're also asking for loan sponsors, and you can contact Dr. Hanifa Shuai Peters for more information by emailing mshspeters@gmail.com. And donations can be given through National War Theme. Happy birthday to Asiya Aleem. This is Harim and Mahasin's daughter, Asiya, birthday January 4th. And also, Women of National War Theme, you have a conference call tonight, the 8th, and men's group tomorrow, the 9th. Also, inshallah, new things coming from clearunderstanding.institute. You'll see more about that coming up. Want to keep Sister Naeem Abdulrahim in Omaha now in our prayers. She suffered a physical mishap, and life always has its challenges. But she's out there, Omaha. You know, Omaha can seem so far away. So keep her in mind. If you have a number, be in touch so she can still feel embraced by her Yay Area community. Our condolences to Tawhida Williams and family. His niece passed from this world, passed from this life in January. May Allah forgive her shortcomings and grant her entry to the paradise. Also, to the family of Brother Zaid Ahmed Khan, who passed from this life January 6th. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. May Allah have mercy on all, forgive his shortcomings. May Allah prepare us to be ready, for our time is coming, inshallah. Wa akim as-salat.
Facebook, you're going to lose a little bit of sound because we're not connected with the AirPods today. But mashallah, we're still there. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka an-na'budu wa iyaka an-nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فصبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإله قريش الأذهب وأهل داشتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه مجوعا وآمنه من خوف.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله سبحان الله شكرا. I also failed to make an announcement. The men's group Masiwati is planning January 30th barbecue, backyard barbecue. I also want to confirm very, very successful event of last week. The backyard fish fry sponsored by New African Kitchen. Very, very wonderful. And it's going to be, inshallah, an annual occurrence. But you have another shot of getting to some of that backyard barbecue. Come on, hit us right down here. Message 1-3 and humble that. And I'll be that name. And congratulations to the men's group on that. Assalamu alaikum.
Sound like about talk.